This is a Get Serial podcast. You can check out more Get Serial at syn.org.au and at Get Serial on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
Get up!
Get out of bed!
Get coffee!
Get juice!
Get toast!
Get some form of condiment!
Get interviews!
Get news!
Get music!
Get entertained!
Get naked!
You're listening to
Get Serial!
Good morning! Yes, you are listening to Get Serial Saturdays with Sam and Jules on Sin 90.7.
Happy Saturday, everyone!
Yeah, get out of bed, get some cereal, come and listen to some really awesome tunes and have a bit of a chat with us.
Sam, I am so excited to be talking today because it's St. Patrick's Day, the luckiest day in the calendar.
Yeah, woo! Hopefully you get some luck somewhere around today.
Yep, but you know who definitely needs a bit of luck today?
Oh, who?
Well, it will all be revealed very shortly because this poor old sucker, this poor old Aussie larrikin, he needs a bit of luck in his life. I think he's had a tough week this week. There needs to be a bit of justice for this man, if you know what I'm saying.
Get inspired.
That's right, it's time for Get Inspired. So each week, I usually read out something that's an inspirational quote to, you know, get you up, get you out of bed, absorb that sunshine and love people whilst you still can. A bit of maybe sinspiration.
Oh, Julia. Sam, love the puns.
But this week, actually, Julia has some sinspiration for you.
Yeah, I thought we would get inspired to, I guess, get behind a really important cause and get inspired to take some action. For those of you playing along at home, you've probably seen on your Facebook feeds, if you've been watching TV this week, maybe a particular cause called the Dolly's Dream.
Mm-hmm.
So basically it's an anti-bullying campaign because, you know, bullying is such a horrible beast. I mean, it's something that follows a lot of young people in particular. So here at Sin, we're the, you know, student youth network. And for that reason, we feel an obligation to look out for young people and young people's needs and issues.
Of course.
Yeah. So, and bullying is not just something that happens at school or at work. For a lot of us, because of social media, it's something that actually follows us into our homes. So we really wanted to kind of shed a light on the fact that this poor girl called Dolly, so her full name's Amy Dolly Everett, she actually took her life at age 14 because she was bullied.
So
she was cyber bullied. And it's so disheartening to hear that because suicide is the leading cause of death for young Australians. And it is obviously the most extreme and also the most rapidly rising out to escape bullying. So I don't know, Sam, but for me, I have experienced bullying myself growing up. A lot of people that I know have experienced it. And there's just simply so many young lives that we could have prevented from people taking their own lives because of this horrible beast and too many places for it to breed online in the cyber world.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, as a teacher, I know that, I have been bullied before, on many occasions, but it's something that I witness every single day. And you see it from prep, from the first day of school, you'll start to see signs of bullying or people that will eventually become bullies. And it's really terrifying to see some young kid that's just in prep and they're so cute, but they're already like emotionally manipulating, physically hitting other kids or doing other things that as a teacher is quite confronting. And it's something that because I'm an art teacher, a lot of what I do is psychology, fear of failure. And you can see that and the bullying all in students and the art that they put out is a very personal thing and kids use it to point out, oh, that doesn't look so good. So therefore you're a failure or you're not very good at art or you're not a good person. And you see those warning signs straight away. And I always try and make sure that I change that or that I'm right on the ball with that. But A lot of the really psychological bullying is stuff that's behind closed doors, cyberbullying, things that as a teacher I don't see.
Yeah. And I mean, you've touched on it, Sam, but, you know, bullying can be in both physical and verbal forms. And there's obviously no tolerating it here. We do not support bullying here. We are completely behind this anti-bullying campaign. So that's why today we wanted to put the spotlight on Dolly's story and the anti-bullying campaign. The motto, the slogan, if you will, is called Speak Even When Your Voice Shakes. So I guess with so many of us here, the victims of bullying, it is so hard, but obviously it's so paramount to find your voice, if you will, and this platform here, you know, we're here to hear you and help you find your voice, speak up, and whether it's happening to someone you know or whether it's happening to yourself, you know that there are people out there that can listen to you if you need a private, if you need a confidential word, someone you don't know. And we just wanted to highlight that there are some helplines that you can reach out to. So Lifeline is 13 11 14 and the Kids Helpline is 1-800-55-1800. So we just want to spread that message of positivity, unity here at SYN, and that we're all in this together.
And yeah, it actually does get better. I know that that's really easy to say, and when you're going through all of that, it's really hard to think that it does get better, but it actually does, and there's people here to help you. And if you are a friend of someone who is getting bullied, I think even more of a reason why to speak up, because a lot of it is a social system and society and the way that we work as groups, we let that happen. So if you're someone on the outskirts of that and you see that, speak up, because your voice is even more powerful than the bully's voice. That's all it. In this together.
Hey, you, farmer.
Yes?
I was wondering if you had any milk.
Sure. Well, what type of milk are you after?
Well, what type of milk do you have?
Oh, I can give you cow's milk, sheep's milk, goat's milk, pig's milk, almond milk, soy milk, corn milk, cashew milk, avocado milk, horse milk, hemp milk, flax milk, coconut milk, rice milk, pea milk.
But there's one particular type of milk I'm after.
What type?
Yoda's milk.
Release my lactose, I must.
Get to your Thursdays with Cake and Kelso on SYN 90.7.
Sam, there are three certainties in life.
Oh yeah, what are they?
Death.
Mm-hmm.
Taxes.
Unfortunately.
And Shannon Knoll coming second in a reality TV show. Poor old Nozzy, right?
The poor thing. He's just, I always think I have a saying for him, always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
I thought today, given it was St. Patrick's Day, the luck of the Irish, that he might have his fortunes turn around. Because he got robbed of second place once again Monday night in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
Oh, did he?
And remember back in the day, 15 years ago, that he came second to Guy Sebastian, a lovely guy.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Robbed again after Australian Idol. So I thought, how did we write this wrong on such a lucky day in the calendar? I thought we would just sort of brainstorm a few things that maybe would turn his luck around, Sam.
I love the music, Julia. This is gorgeous.
How do we write this wrong for Nolsey? How do we find the justice? Well, Sam, there are possible outcomes that could happen today.
Mm-hmm.
If he finds a four-leaf clover, that could be a way.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
What about Nolsey perhaps going to his local news agents and picking up a scratchy, winning Tats Lotto?
That would be great. That would balance it out. What about maybe finding one of those Mars bar free bars?
Oh, not sponsored by Mars.
Yeah. Definitely not.
I definitely love those free bars. It was so good. You get two for the price of one. Would it even out the victories? Would he have one victory out of his two appearances on TV? I don't know.
I don't know if it's probably a little bit too small. Maybe something a little bit higher. What do you think?
Maybe something a bit more realistic? Something a bit more attainable, I suppose, for old Nolsey. Getting two yolks in one egg?
Yeah, definitely. That would be great. Maybe he can find that $50 that I lost in the city. That would be kind of good. I did lose $50.
How could you do that?
It just flew out of my hand.
But maybe.
Yeah, actually serious. I was running to go get a book and I tripped and it flew out of my hand and I was like, no. So maybe if Shannon Knoll finds that, it kind of balances out, like free $50.
Right
out of my pocket.
Enjoy. How about, say if he's going to his local cafe and he's got a loyalty card, maybe he's up to his free coffee on his 10th or 5th or 20th or whatever it is that the system works.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe he's got a free coffee today on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, that would be great. Good, like, Saturday morning coffee, listening to Sin 90.7, definitely. Oh. What about a job offer of going back on a reality show?
A third time's the charm.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for me, it definitely is, so maybe he will.
Or maybe something just very, very easy to happen.
I'm thinking
something like maybe a dog stops in the middle of the street, sees Nolsey and is like, oh, he looks like a good bloke, comes up to him for a couple of pats. Oh, who's a good boy? Oh, yes.
I love that. Oh, he looks like a good bloke. Coming from this dog who's probably just a really macho dog. He looks like a good bloke. Yeah, Nolsey. Come pat my tummy, Nolsey.
Poor Nolsey. I hope he's feeling inspired today. He's got a bit of sinspiration and is thinking that maybe his luck will be turned around with those ideas. Because we're sick of him saying, what about me? We're sick of him losing out, coming second once again. So hopefully, maybe he has to go on Married at First Sight or something.
Time to be the bride, not the bridesmaid this time.
I'm pretty sure he's happily married, but I mean, it's not about any specifics. It's not about the facts.
Yeah.
He just needs a win.
He needs a win. First place for him, just so he can hold it. Like winning an Oscar or something like that, just being like, yes, finally I have been recognised in the Australian community.
Oh dear, there we are, Nolsey. We hope that you get your justice on this very lucky day, St. Patrick's Day.
Well, we would love to also hear, what have you been robbed of first place of?
What have you been robbed of? What were you a shoo-in for? We want to know. Hey, tweet us at Get Serial. We've got a Twitter feed there. We'd love to hear your thoughts, or hit us up on our DMs on Facebook.
I was reading this article, Julia, this week, and in the article it was talking about scones. Ooh. And advertising them.
Yum!
And it had a way of assembling the scones, I would say.
Right.
And people were going absolutely nuts.
So we're talking like how we cut scones or heat them up?
So what the picture had was, it had the scone was cut in half, and then it had cream. And then it had the jam on the top.
Delicious. And where can I get some?
Well, that's interesting that you don't see a problem with that, because to me, I look at that and I'm like, well, they've put it on the wrong way.
Right. So what way do you do it then?
Well, I do it the opposite way. I do jam and then the cream on top, because otherwise I find the jam would just sort of slide off. But people were going absolutely nuts about this and saying, oh my God, how could you have it that way? Like, the queen has it this way, or this person has it this way. Why would you have it that way? Like, people were going absolutely nuts.
So we're getting the royal family involved in this.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And I actually looked up something about this to find out the right way. But before I talk about that, Julia, which way do you prefer it?
I honestly don't see any difference between the two in terms of taste.
How do I do it? The same.
I can't even think, now that you've put me on the spot, which way I do it.
Yeah. Well, I always put the jam on, and I love to have maybe, sometimes you have to cut it in like fourths if you've got four different types of jam. Ooh. I love the really homemade jam. So you kind of, I lather it on.
You've got quite the process going on.
I do. I do like my scones. I feel like some of my friends know me for my scones, because there's this place that I go to which has, you know, just amazing scones. Mm. So I always lather on the jam.
Yeah.
And then a big dollop of like clotted cream. And the word clotted cream really just sparks up in your imagination of exactly what it is.
You know, come to think of it, I probably do jam first, because there's something about spreading it onto the closest layer.
Yeah, because how do you spread the jam onto
the cream?
Yeah, because isn't that like, unless you just kind of chuck it on, but then again, is that too much jam? Would it kind of fall off the sides? To me, that seems a bit like it doesn't stay on properly.
Yeah, you got to know your ratios.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, well, I'm with you then.
Well, I looked up some information about it, and there's two different methods. The Cornish method, which goes into London as well, which is the jam, then the clotted cream. So the way that I do that, and I think maybe the way that you do that. But then there's the Devonshire method. method. And so, you know, when you have Devonshire tea.
I always thought that that was just the collective way of referring to having scones.
No, it's like a different, it's a completely different way of having morning, afternoon tea. It's very different to the Queen's.
Oh,
so,
you're right.
Yeah, so they do the cream and then they do the jam on top.
Okay.
But, okay, if you're going to get technical, I would say the scone is the Queen's food. So at the Buckingham Palace Gardens parties, you always have the jam first. That's what the Queen has said. And that's what the former royal chef, Darren McGrandy, has said. So I would maybe take his word on it, but I don't know.
Yeah, look, if the Queen said that you got to have jam first, I'm going to go with her.
I would go with the Queen as well. But I would love to hear everybody else's opinion. So I have a poll on Facebook.
Mm.
So look at Get Cereal and please vote. Do you have jam then cream or do you have cream then jam? I would love to know your opinions and see who wins in the end.
It's like when you put a sock on and then a shoe, then a sock on, then a shoe, or do you go sock, sock, shoe, shoe? Everyone's going to be divided on this.
Yeah. I have to say I am sock, shoe, sock, shoe. And I know that people that weirds people out, but
I am the same. I've changed. What is happening to the world? We got to know. Are you out there and doing jam cream or cream jam? Let us know at Get Cereal, like Sam said. Sam, I thought that my name was pretty standard, pretty average, pretty common.
Yeah. Jules. Yeah.
Julia. Yeah.
Same with mine. Sam. Yeah.
I mean, there was like 9 Julias in my year level, weirdly enough.
Yeah.
Probably not as common as Emily or Sarah, but, or Sam.
Yeah.
But it's pretty common, hey?
Yeah, pretty common.
So, I guess I have a question for you guys out there, for the baristas out there, for everyone that's ever gone and got a cup of coffee or cup of tea or they've bought something from a cafe or a chain. What I want to know is, how do people get names so wrong on orders? You know, you go up to the counter, you say, hi, I'd like to have a latte or whatever it is that you're ordering. Then they write down your name in the little box, or they write it on the side of the cup, and then you get your name called out, and that's not your name.
And you're like, huh? Who's that? I assume that's me? Like, wow, that is not my name.
Oh, they assume, all right. They're waiting for 5 minutes, and you're just like, is my coffee coming anytime soon? No.
No.
No, clearly not. So I was racking my brain, Sam, trying to figure out how on earth they figure out that this is actually your name, that they've given you this new alter ego. So there must be some sort of magical algorithm, I reckon, out there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I've been racking my brain. Here's my hypothesis.
Okay.
So some of the big chains have got a reputation for coming out with some weird names.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is they find your star sign. Then they combine it with your mother's maiden name. Then they punch in the corresponding number to the letter in the alphabet that you got back in the day from your year 7 science exam. B, A, C. Don't know how the plus or minus works, but we'll stick with it. And then you times it by the amount of times that you wash your hair every week. And then somehow, abracadabra, you crack the code for how baristas write down your name on your coffee cup.
It seems like they're more like scientists than baristas.
Can they spend more time making my coffee than coming up with how they're going to call my name out when my order is ready? Yeah. Honestly.
Yeah.
Recently, Sam, I got called out as Julie, which is common. All the time I get Julie.
Yeah, I understand that. Julie.
But also Leah.
Leah. Oh, because you can... Julia. And they just hear Leah. Oh, Leah. And you're like, don't think that's me, but... Anyway, I'll take my coffee.
Yeah. I feel very sorry for a lot of my coworkers that have unusual names, but Julia, come on. Seriously.
Any other names? Male names?
I've got male names, actually.
Yeah?
Not, I suppose, when they've written down my name, but what it looks like on the cup.
Yeah.
I've got Jake.
Jake.
So I suppose J-U-L-I-A, if you sort of merge the U and the L, you sort of get an A and a K that's combined if you try and picture that on a cup.
Was it the same person writing it as reading it out?
No.
No, because that can sometimes be the problem, is that the person reading it out is like, what have they written here? Wow, I'm just going to say a name like, yeah.
But the funny thing is, it's a cafe that I visit every day at work. And strangely enough, yes, they do know my name. They know everyone by name.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I just get my cup back and I go, what? What on earth are they doing there?
What is this? Jake?
Jake. Jake. Hmm. No, they call out Jules or they come up to me personally, you know, door-to-door service, if you will.
Yes.
It's fantastic. But the names, I don't know. So, Sam, I imagine you've never had any problems with getting your name read out at a cafe?
No, because I feel like Sam is just very much like, they usually repeat it back to me like, oh, it's Sam. And I'm like, yes. Like, yes, that's what I say. I never have had my name wrong. Ever. So I don't know whether it's just because Julia sounds so many, names and like Julie, Julia, Leah, I don't know wherever it comes from, but.
Well, the common one is just spelling normal names in just bizarre ways, throwing in extra letters for fun. But, anyone out there, have you had any issues with the spelling of your name?
Yeah.
Have you ever felt victimized by your barista with new names and alter egos? Hey, let us know. We would love to hear your experiences at cafes that you visit.
Definitely. Or are you a barista that commonly gets people's names wrong? Because sometimes you might be nervous, you're focusing on other things, and you're like, the last thing I need to do is remember your name. So we would like to hear your opinions. What is the worst thing? Have you had a customer like Julia who's been like, that isn't my name, just embarrassingly so. We would love to hear about it. Get popcorn!
Get streaming!
Get watching!
Get on the couch!
With Sam! Yes, each week I talk about a new movie or TV series or something that I have seen recently that has been hitting high ratings or something I've heard through the grapevine. And one thing I have heard through the grapevine is this new movie called Veronica. So, Julia, would you like to hear all about this new movie?
Is it a horror film, Sam?
Yes, it is. God. I know I said I'd spread out more and do some differing kind of films and TVs, but TV shows. But this one is actually an international movie. So I thought it kind of passed as being a little bit, you know, with diversity and stuff like that.
Right.
So this is actually a Spanish film directed by Paco Plaza. The lead actress in it is Sandra Escasina, and the movie is based in Madrid in 1991, and it's, I don't know if you've heard about it, but there was this case that happened in Madrid about some sort of, not crimes, but paranormal things that have happened that people couldn't actually explain, well, the police couldn't explain. So it's sort of as kind of retelling this story in a way. So it evolves around this one girl, Veronica, and she is the eldest of her siblings. Her father has unfortunately passed away.
Right.
And so she is trying to raise her three younger siblings whilst her mum is trying to pay for, you know, the whole family being a single mother now. And she wants to kind of contact her father because she misses him. So on the day of an eclipse, her two friends and her, they go down to their basement at school, this kind of creepy basement, and they're like, oh, okay, we'll sneak away while everybody's looking at the eclipse.
Oh, classic.
And, yeah, and we will use this Ouija board and we will try to contact your father. So she brings a photo of her father down with her and she tries to contact him.
Is that the thing where you move certain letters to try and create a message?
Yeah, yeah. So you put like a glass or something or like a shot glass on the actual Ouija board and everybody has to put one finger or two fingers on it.
Right.
And then it's said that the spirits will move it around and either spell out things or answer yes or no questions.
Mm.
And there's certain rules to it. For example, you need to say goodbye. So at the end, if you don't say goodbye and the spirit moves it to goodbye, then technically you've released that spirit or you haven't ended the session, I guess. But you need to end it so that they don't follow you or come back at you. Like you always have to do these certain steps if you're going to play this Ouija board.
Right. You don't want any spirits in your sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, so watching this movie, I actually heard that a lot of people had turned it off because they thought it was absolutely terrifying because it's based on true events that nobody could explain, not even the police.
And a bit of cultural education, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. And I find it incredibly fascinating because it's all in Spanish.
Mm.
So there's, you know, a lot of subtitles, but I just love it because it's just so culturally relevant to Madrid during that time.
Right.
And the struggle that this girl is going through. And the real danger here is not with herself, but with her younger siblings, is that she's almost like a surrogate mother. And this thing is, you know, coming after them and maybe coming after the kids. Mm. So my question I have to you, Julia, quick question, is would you ever use a Ouija board?
Nope.
Never at all. I'm the same. I would never tempt the devil, but I just think it's really interesting.
Why would you want to use it?
Well, I guess if you're fascinated by it, but, you know.
I've seen too many horror films for my liking, and I definitely do not want to tempt anyone there.
Yeah, definitely. I'm the same. Don't tempt the devil. But check it out, because apparently it's meant to be the most terrifying Netflix movie. So check it out. yeah, listen and watch it. It's called Veronica.
It's time for the confessional.
Yes, Julia, it is time to confess your sins. We are all human here. We are flawed. And sometimes we need somewhere to get things off our chest in a safe space. So each week we take a bit of a walk up to the confessional to confess our sins. So who is it this week, me or you?
I think I'm up this week.
Okay.
All right. Here goes.
I'll leave you here, Julia. Good luck.
Thanks. Oh, dear. Okay, let's do this. Hello?
Hello, my child.
Oh, hi, priest. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, thank you. I've got something that I need to tell you that I've been feeling a little bit guilty about.
Please confess, my
child.
Oh,
okay, cool. So how do I start this thing? Like,
just start the way you naturally would. Just maybe tell me the circumstance of what happened, and then I will give you some advice.
Okay, right. So is there like a 1 to 10 rating about how bad my sin has to be, or...?
We'll get to that, my child. Okay. I will give you a rating.
Okay, all right. I'm just feeling a little bit guilty, so I really, really hope it's a 1 and I get out of here alive. So, priest, I am feeling guilty because I have been avoiding people on the street, in shopping centres, charities, people that have stopped me outside of my train station when I get off and go to work.
Oh, my child. Charities. Charities, my
See,
child.
See, I feel like we're getting very close to a 5 or 6 by now.
It's looking bad.
Because, you know, I'm a busy gal and I you know, don't have time to chat with them all the time. And I know that's bad, and I know it's kind of ironic because I'm sitting here chatting with you, but I just feel like if I engage in conversation with them, I will be backed into a corner and I will end up having to be talked into something. And a lot of those people out there, they actually get paid commission, and I'm like, damn you, I don't want to give my money to that because I know you're not a true cause.
Yes, damn them.
And I don't know, priest, like, I don't want to engage in conversation. And one of them was like an animal shelter something. Maybe they weren't even at all. But what they said to me got me. They looked at me as I was trying to look away and avert my gaze. I see you like animals in your eyes. And I was just like, oh, damn, you got me good. And then I just kept walking and I just felt so guilty. I have the Catholic guilt. And then when they asked me, how are you today, ma'am? And I can't just not say, yeah, good, how are you? Because then I'm engaged in conversation and I'm stuck there and I'm just feeling so, so guilty, priest, and I just don't know what to do. And one former employee that I used to know, she now works for one of those charities. And once I saw her, she was in the middle of a shopping center and I walked past her. And then she was like, oh, Julia. And then, yep, came over. And then I was like, oh, what are you doing here? Oh, cool. You got a new job. And then, yep, I signed up to sponsor a child.
Well, I can see that you are plagued with this, my child. And I do think that sponsoring a child is a fantastic idea. Helping animals is a fantastic idea.
I know, but this is not painting me to be a very good person, is it?
No, you should be giving to charities. You should be giving back because you are lucky to be in a position where you have a job and a roof under your head and food in your tummy.
Even a roof over my head, priest.
Over your head, my child. I am sorry. I sometimes think roofs go under people's heads.
You're thinking of all those charities and how you could get some money out of me.
Yes, I do think it's important to give back to the community.
But to be fair, Priest, I do think of the charities. My problem is that there's just too many, and I just don't know, because everywhere I go, there's another charity popping up, and there's another way that all my money is going towards. And I just don't know, how do I prioritize them? How do I get out of this hole, and how do I not back myself into a corner when everyone wants my money?
Oh, my child, I can really feel your stress there. Well, I think because you are sponsoring a child, you're halfway there. You are still giving back to the community, and you're on SIN. So you are giving back your voice to the community too.
Oh, that's true.
So I would say it's not too bad. Possibly you could give them the time of day, maybe a couple of minutes, and then say, look, I do this and I do that. Maybe I can just give you $5 or something a little bit less.
Less than, of a contract.
Yes, less of, you know, than a full-blown thing that you will get stressed about. But my child, I think it's okay. I think if you do 10 Hail Marys and spend a bit of time in this lovely cathedral thinking about how else you can give to the community, I think that would serve a purpose for you and relieve you of your sins.
Oh, thanks, Priest. That's awesome. All right, I will make some compromises and I will do those Hail Marys in just a sec. All right, cheers. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too.
Okay.
See you later.
Bye.
Hey, Julia, how did it go?
Look, it was a bit stressful, but I'm pretty happy with the outcome. Oh, there's a charity box over there.
Oh no.
Get up!
Get out of bed!
Get coffee!
Get juice!
Get toast!
Get some form of condiment!
Get interviews!
Get news!
Get music!
Get entertainment!
Get naked!
You're listening to
Get Serial!
Yes, you are listening to Get Serial Saturdays with Sam and Jules on SIN 90.7. So get some cereal in your bowl, come listen to some awesome tunes, and have a bit of a chat with us.
Yeah, happy Saturday, everybody in Melbourne. We've got an hour left of the show. We're super excited. Get some tunes, get around us. We have some exclusive intel about the new Bachelor, Mr. Bachelor.
Yes.
Because we know that it's Nick Cummins, but we've actually got some exclusive intel who were the runners up. We'll get to that shortly.
This morning on SIN 90.7's Crazy News Update of the Week. A bride-to-be was put in handcuffs en route to her own wedding on Monday morning. The 32-year-old woman was arrested while on her way to the altar, suspected of drink driving while sporting a floor-length white gown. She had allegedly caused a three-car crash in southern Arizona.
SpaceX founder Elon Musk announced on Sunday that Mars should get ready for our arrival. Presenting at a Q&A at the South by Southwest Festival in Austin, Texas, the entrepreneur has suggested his company will be ready for liftoff with short flights projected for 2019.
The US Navy pilots are getting up to mischief, it seems. The Department of Defense released a video of pilots attempting to track an alleged UFO flying through the sky. The newly declassified footage made public on Friday has been traced to the east coast of the United States in 2015.
Now to weather, it's getting wild, wild, wild north of Australia. Residents in southeast Queensland was set to brace for the onslaught of tropical cyclone Linda along the coast. But luckily, the cyclone has been downgraded since the news broke earlier in the week, leaving our northerly neighbours with a warning to look out for those gale-force winds and dangerous surf.
And in sad news, iconic physicist Stephen Hawking passed away on Wednesday, age 76, leaving a gaping hole in the scientific community. He was best known for his work on black holes and the emerging field of quantum physics. Hawking once said, "My goal is simple. It is a complete understanding of the universe, why it is as it is, and why it exists at all."
And that's all to update you on for Crazy News of the Week. You're on Get Serial Saturdays, here with Sam and Jules on SIN 90.7.
Julia, I actually just have gone back. No, not even gone back. I have just downloaded Bumble.
Oh, yes. The dating app, right?
Yeah, so getting on all of the Bumble stuff there, getting a part of it. I think the reason why I caved, I did finally cave. I hadn't been on Tinder for a while. I just found that I didn't have the time.
Right.
And I spent a lot of my time swiping when I should have been doing other more important things in my life, like
doing work and other things that I should be, you know, cooking and cleaning and stuff like that. So I
you and me too, sister.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of got rid of Tinder because I kind of got a bit sick of it because eventually you're kind of like, oh, this just feels like I'm wasting my time. So I got rid of it.
Right. So break it down for those that don't maybe use dating apps or they're happily coupled up. What's the difference between Bumble and Tinder?
Okay, well, I don't actually know the difference. Like, okay, they're very similar, apart yeah. from their different names. You know, Tinder's got the whole fire theme, and Bumble's got all the, like, you know, the beehive, like, bee theme, which I think is kind of cute.
So you're swiping on matches for both of them?
Yeah, so you swipe left for no and right for yes. If you like the look of them, you swipe right.
Right.
And then on Tinder, you start, like, anybody starts the conversation.
Okay.
You might start it off with, like, a funny thing. They might say something about your pictures or your bio or something like that. But on Bumble, it's very different because the chicks have to start the conversation.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So I originally got it because I was feeling a little bit out of it. You know, my friends were talking about going on dates and having a really good time, being taken out for dinner and all that. And I kind of felt a little bit out of it. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to cave. I'm going to get it. Put up my photos. I'm not going to put a bio up.
Right.
But just because I didn't really know what to write.
It's tough, hey?
Yeah.
How do you summarize yourself in only a few characters?
Exactly. So I left that blank, but I just found bits of it a little bit alarming, like the fact that you only have 24 hours to chat to that person. And if they don't chat back to you in 24 hours, you permanently unmatch with them.
Look, I see two sides to this. I like that there's like this time frame that you got to respond. So if you're just going to sit there and you're going to just keep on accumulating matches and no one's going to respond to you, well, what's the point of having the app? So I like that. But on the other hand, yeah, we're busy gals. I totally get you. I'm in the same boat, Sam. You haven't got time and you're like, oh, there's 24 hours. Oh, and then say if you get that notification that's like, oh, there's only an hour left. You've got to make a move soon.
You're like, oh my God.
Too much pressure. Oh.
Yeah. It puts me on edge because I'm someone that I have the fear of missing out.
Like, yeah.
Major FOMO. So when I see that there's a countdown and that I haven't said anything or that they haven't said anything, it does send me into a bit of a panic. And how do you cope, Julia? Like, do you have Bumble?
Yes. So I've sort of intermittently used it. I've stopped using Tinder, I suppose, for that same reason that you get people actually responding to you on Bumble, yeah. I've found.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's a bit better quality matches on Bumble.
Because I feel like everyone's moved from Tinder to Bumble.
Like, migrated Tinder's, like bees.
Yeah. Oh, I'm cute. Yeah, like Tinder's like old school. Like, nah, like that's just gone. But Bumble's, you know, a little bit more into what it is like now.
I suppose it's more like relationship than hookup focused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, Julia, you wanted to create my bio, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yes.
I decided that we would put it to the people, to you guys listening out there, because it is so hard. And we were even talking about this yesterday, Sam, that putting, you know, your occupation or whatever you do and choosing one word to describe yourself or one term is so putting everyone into a box, and it's so sort of specific.
Yeah, definitely.
Doesn't do us justice. So maybe a bio is a way of expressing something else that maybe your occupation or your work or your uni or something, your Spotify music that can sort of express a bit more about you. So I would love to put it to the people. What do you think Sam should have in her bio? Should it be a funny one-liner? Should it be some 5-star ratings from Oprah? Should it be just some things about her, some quirky facts.
Yeah, definitely. So if you can comment us, I'll put some photos of that I actually have on my Bumble profile, and you can write a bit of a bio, and maybe I will use yours. Also, if you're hearing me and you do find me on Bumble, well, then swipe me, because you never know, I might swipe you back. So check us out on Get Serial on Facebook and write a comment, and we'll see what we can put together.
Sam, we are very lucky right now to be talking to a ringmaster and illusionist. How lucky are we? We're talking to Simon Tate from Silver's Circus. Hello, Simon. Thanks for joining us on the show.
Good morning, girls. How are you? Bright and early this morning.
Very bright and early.
So, Simon, can you please tell us, how did you get into the circus? Did you always want to run away with the circus?
Well, I saw a circus when I was about 21. It came to my hometown, and I'd just finished course at an acting college, University of Southeast Queensland.
Right.
And I just fell in love with an American clown who was doing a lot of mime in his act.
Mm.
And because we were doing a lot of mime in our course, and I just loved what he was doing, and I thought, how can I become an apprentice? What an interesting thing to do for a couple of years.
Yeah, definitely. You
know? I thought, you know, to run away, do a bit of travel, get a bit of life in, and do a different extension of theatre, you know, a circus. It's such an old tradition, you know, travelling
circus. Yeah, definitely. That's incredible.
From the Roman Colosseum is right up to today's avant-garde. You know, it's gone through a lot of transition, etc., in that period. But I just fell in love with the concept, and here I am, 36 and a half years later.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. And you guys have been going in Silver Circus for 40 years.
No, I've been with a few different circuses, had a circus of my own in the meantime, so I've been around the traps. But
wow.
I have been with Silver's quite a few years now, all up, getting close to 20 years now.
You said that you had a circus of your own. What was that like, running your own circus? What acts did you have?
I was ringmaster with that show, but my roles were plenty, I tell you. You kept me so busy, all the organising.
Mm.
It's like setting up a brand new, anyone who's set up a new business knowing the hoops you have to jump through the council understands what a drama it is, and they think if that's the only time I have to do it in my life, fantastic. But with a circus, you have to go through that whole procedure in every location.
Yeah.
It's daunting. It really is a daunting thing to have to do.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And the acts seem unimaginable to the human eye, but really, you guys are pulling them off. So how on earth do you train to perform these acts in the circus?
Well, a lot of people are always training. Under the Big Top itself, like, they have all day they can get in there. Sometimes we have to set out a schedule because there's many people wanting to practice, of course.
Mm.
But people are always training. People come from gymnastics backgrounds.
Mm,
Sometimes a dancer with the show will fall in love with the clown, and then all of a sudden she'll be performing aerial acts and things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
So people get into circus from many different directions. It's amazing fate, how it draws you to something.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, there are many people who are born into the industry, and they've been doing it their whole life. They know nothing but circus.
Yeah, definitely. Well, speaking of that, you've performed in many different places with many amazing people. Where would you most want to return to or most want to work with?
You know, Australia is so beautiful. There are so many beautiful places in this country.
Mm.
It's incredible. And we've been so lucky to be able to travel around. And you wake up in the morning and you're in this pristine park somewhere, it's your backyard. You know, it really is. It's hard to say where I would like to return to. If I was to retire, you mean? Or
Just anybody that you're like, I would really want to work with them again if I had the opportunity, or if there was one place that you really connected with.
Look, I love Melbourne. I just love the culture in Melbourne. it's the culture, the weather, you know, all the sporting events, everything you could ever dream you could possibly want is here in this city.
Mm.
And it's kind of easy to, if you've ever been to Sydney, you know Melbourne's actually easy to drive around.
Yes,
so,
definitely.
You know, it's actually a wonderful, wonderful city. So I couldn't really go past Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
Perth is extraordinarily beautiful, but it's just so far away, you know, unfortunately.
Yeah. And speaking...
I think they have two heads over there, too.
Definitely.
Well, we certainly have the grid, hey?
They're beautiful people.
Yes.
And speaking of, I suppose, your best experiences, your most amazing places to visit, as a performer, I'm sure you've seen lots of audience members doing or saying some crazy things. What's the strangest thing you might have seen or experienced, Simon?
From an audience member?
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh my goodness. Well, we get them to do some extraordinarily silly things.
Oh, really?
There are big clowns. clowns get people up and embarrass the heck out of it. But I've never seen anything too ridiculously extraordinary from an audience member.
Oh, well, that's good.
Thank you. No, nothing.
Leave the impressive acts to yourselves, hey?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much, Simon, for chatting with us. Absolutely fantastic to talk to you this morning. So that is Simon Tate, a part of Silver's Circus in Altona and Geelong. Thank you so much, Simon.
That's a pleasure, girls. Thank you for having me on.
Now, where can we find you, Simon, in Altona and Geelong?
Yes, we're at Apex Park in Altona, and we're here until Sunday the 25th.
Yep.
And then we're moving on to Geelong Showgrounds from the 28th of March.
Yep. And there's plenty of day and night shows. So depending
on... heaps of shows.
That's it. You're busy people, hey?
People can even just rock up at the door if they feel like, oh, look, we'd like to go to the circus. There are heaps of seats still available at the door.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you so much. So, yep. Simon, we'll pop your details for Silver Circus up on our Facebook and Twitter page so people can check it out if they want to.
That'd be fabulous. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Simon. Sam, I've got a new phone, and I feel a little bit like this. Hello, new phone, who dis?
Love it, Julia. New phone, new me, hey?
I am a new me. I honestly don't even recognise myself anymore, and I never thought I'd say this, but... getting a new phone has caused some real-life problems for me.
Really? That's problems, not benefits?
You'd think that getting a new phone, there'd be improvements in your life. And, I mean, across the board, there have been improvements. But they've come as, like, a bit of a double-edged sword here.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll run you through a couple. Hopefully, you can empathise with me. I don't know if you guys out there have experienced the backhanded issues with getting a new phone. But the first problem I've had... is obviously I've got a clearer screen. It no longer has cracks. Mm. The beauty of a new phone is that it comes brand new. But it also means that I can see more blemishes, more pimples on my face when I open the camera and see.
Yeah, because the camera's like better quality than the other one. Yeah.
Take me back to the cracked screen, hey? Oh,
that's why I sometimes use the colour saturation one.
So that's why you do it.
Yeah, because it smooths out your skin.
It also makes me look orange, but thanks. Now I know why you do it.
Yes. Yep.
Another reason that I am liking the phone is that there's a big screen, hey? There's heaps of room. There's heaps of real estate. I can put all my apps there. I can see everything on full screen. But there's a bit of a problem with that.
What is it?
Sam, when we were talking about Bumble before, swiping away, what happens when you're out in public and swiping on Bumble? Is people can see your phone.
Yeah, and they can see what you're writing. And if you're writing something embarrassing, or if you're like, hey, how are you?
So now I can't swipe in public subtly. I have a massive screen. Now everyone can see who I'm looking at. I need to turn that brightness down.
Yeah, you do. You need that sort of, you know, how on the sides it kind of gets really dark so that nobody can actually see. Maybe if there's got a function like that, I don't know.
Well, we'll have to look into it. Mm. But, I mean, there's been so many benefits of this new phone. Another one is how sensitive the screen is. It's fantastic. I mean, I can touch things and it opens, like with my old phone.
Mm.
I would touch something and then it'd think about it. And then it would have a cup of tea and then it'd come back and be like, can't open that up. Sorry.
I find sometimes as well, if your phone is a larger phone than what you previously had, that the weight of it when you're trying to text, if you're like in bed and then you drop it on your face, it's a different weight.
I mean, that will just take you out for a week, hey?
Yeah, definitely. Some of these big phones, you know, they'll really knock you out.
I mean, obviously with the size, it could definitely make your jeans or your pockets a little bit lopsided because you've always got that weight on one side.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's talk more about the benefits. Because with a more sensitive screen, it means that I get to see all my notifications beautifully clear, can open. But it also means that when I don't want to look at it, it unlocks my phone. So say if I'm getting a text from someone... mm-hmm. Bing, there goes a text. Before I've even looked at the text, look at the preview on my lock screen. It's already opened.
Oh, my God.
First world problems, hey?
Yeah, I know. Well, I find that I got a new phone not too long ago, but all the kids in my classroom still now, 6 months later, are like, oh, wow, a new phone. Oh, my God, it's so nice. And I feel cooler. I'm like, yeah, I'm an adult and I can afford these things.
I have a phone. Yeah, well, look, they obviously are first world problems. You know, more sensitive screen, bigger screen, More real estate. I am very fortunate that I managed to save up and get the new phone, but does anyone feel my pain?
Yeah, it's been too long, Julia. You definitely needed that new phone.
Get cereal. We're getting loose here. Getting everyone ready for breakfast.
But we are zesty.
We're zesty.
We're zesty.
Tasty. Tasty little bites to have during your brekkie. Who doesn't want zesty and tasty in their lives?
And who doesn't want Ez and Bella on Wednesdays? We can get you up and ready to go for the day. Listen to us on Get Cereal.
On Wednesdays.
That's right.
J. Frank Walker. Let's go off when I enter the building. Get Cereal, 6 to 9 a.m. with Bella and Ez on Sin 90.7.
Oh, kids say the darnest things. As a primary school teacher, I do hear some absolutely weird, just downright amazing things that kids say on the reg. So, we had recently, the other night, our sporting event after school.
I've been wanting to hear about this. So how did it go, Sam?
Well, yeah, it went well. I was doing the scoring, which was fun. Our house lost by 1 point, which absolutely sucks. But anyway, we got through it in the end. But I just, you always see whenever there's a sporting event, kids do weird things, absolutely weird things. So the first thing I have is that one student was meant to run from one point to the other side of the oval and then just stop. But this student ran all the way there to the finish line and then all the way back to the teachers. And then the teachers were like, what are you doing?
Was he supposed to, like, pass a baton to someone?
No.
No?
They were just meant to end. This student was just meant to end at the finish line and then get her ribbon and go. And she ran all the way back to the teachers and they were like, what are you doing? Run back, go get your award. And so she ran back all the way. We were all waiting for her. All the parents were watching. So we all were cheering her on. And then I picked up the microphone and I was like, yeah, we should give her two awards for running the race twice.
Oh, smart, Sam.
And everybody laughed with that one. We had one student losing a shoe.
Oh.
But she kept running.
Oh, that's impressive.
She lost it right at the very start and kept running.
Didn't want to stop.
And then at the end, kind of looked back at her foot like, what happened to my shoe? She had no idea where it went.
She was in the moment.
Yeah. We had one student who, Stephen Bradbury, did it, where, you know, with Stephen Bradbury during the Winter Olympics, he
won by default. Yeah.
This girl did the same thing. So she was the only girl in a race with three other boys.
Mm.
And these boys are really competitive and pushing each other. And we were like, no, you're not allowed to push when you're racing. So they managed to push each other and then all three of them fell over just before the finish line.
Tactical.
And she kind of looked at them and her face just lit up and she ran across the finish line.
It's like, mine.
Yeah, she was coming last and then she just kept running and we were all like, oh my God, keep running, keep running. And she crossed the finish line and was like, oh my God, I came first.
You know, that's never ever going to happen to her again.
I know,
I know. She needs to soak it all in.
Yeah, yeah. We also had the sack race and they had to, you know, get in the sack and hop to the end and then put this, like, one of those chickens that go like, meh, when you squeeze them. They had to put that into the front of their bag and then keep jumping and a lot of them just couldn't do it and it was really I'm sorry, you shouldn't laugh, but it was
it's really hard. I've tried it myself.
It's really difficult to do and you could see that they were kind of like they were, you know, pushing through, soldiering on, but they couldn't do it. And I just thought, wow, I have to score again because if I was running the races then I wouldn't be able to watch all of this. But it was just absolutely hilarious. And kids do the weirdest things at sporting events.
Kids say and do the darnest things, of course. Sam, the new Bachelor has been announced.
Oh, yes.
For Bachelor, Bachelorette fans. It is Nick Honeybadger Cummins. You've probably seen it on your social media feeds or on TV.
Mm.
He's the Wallabies rugby union player and he's pretty famous for his one-liners, the sort of hearty larrikin guy.
Yeah, yeah. I actually looked him up because I'd never heard of him before. I know that's a bit strange. But yeah, and now I have a bit of a crush on him because I think he just says some of the weirdest things. But one thing is, why does he call himself the Honey Badger?
Basically, there's a documentary on National Geographic or Animal Planet, and this Honey Badger was going toe-to-toe with a male lion and clawing away. The big fella got his canasters clawed off and he trotted off around the corner and fell over and the badger gets back up and I thought, what an animal, you know.
So Now we know why it's called the honey badger. Mm-hmm. But the problem with him, though, and I'm thinking about the contestants on the show, mm-hmm. how on earth are they going to be able to understand him?
Yeah.
Just take a listen at some of his notable lines throughout the years in his career, but also as a bit of a star. Yeah.
Oh, buddy, I've gone up and over and, buddy, head over biscuit.
If I end up getting a gig, mate, I'll be going off like a cut snake. Sweating like a gypsy with a mortgage, actually, when he got up after scoring that try. Thought he was sweating like a bag of cats at a greyhound meet there before the game, but he managed to get over for some meat.
When we're back on our line here, and we're D'ing like, buddy, like the boys in the trenches in Gallipoli there. Well, we're not. It's that kid that fell out of the tree, you know, he just wasn't in it.
And mate, you try your own try, you nearly
got south. Get a bit of salmon on the run. Maybe a few Taylor.
Not going to cross an Alibor again, are you?
Over away, mate. I was busier than a one-armed bricklayer in Baghdad, mate. It was flat out. So when I got that sea going down the sideline,
a one-armed bricklayer in Baghdad, was it?
I know, yeah.
What? Sorry, I just need Google Translate for when he talks. So I guess what I wanted to break the news today is that we actually have some exclusive intel from who were the runners-up for The Bachelor, The Badgerla this year. So they've basically looked at the criteria as people that are difficult to understand, mm-hmm. whether that's word choice or whether that's accent. So coming in at second, we have Alf Stewart from Home and Away.
Zach Maguire's an innocent man, you flaming drongo.
Well, yes, flaming drongo, hey?
Yeah, everybody recognises that voice. Such an iconic voice right there.
So word choice, questionable. Yeah. I'm not sure if Alf is in the market for a lovely woman, but if we're thinking in terms of maybe not word choice, maybe he's using everyday lexicon in the English language, yeah. maybe accent's the problem. So here's who came in third. We've got Manu Fidel from our favourite cooking shows.
And today I'm going to show you some traditional French cuisine. And my recipe today is a beautiful raspberry soufflé.
A beautiful raspberry.
Raspberry.
I can't even talk either.
I know, hearing his accent, you're like, oh, now I feel like talking like that.
Well, I'm lucky that I can actually understand his French accent, but he said, today we are going to do... Now I just don't even sound French.
No. Yeah, can't really understand him that well. I feel like I sort of can, but if he was to talk with like an even thicker like French accent, mm-hmm. I would be like, what?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Yeah.
So there we have it, the exclusive intel for who were the runners-up behind Nick Cummins' Honey Badger for being the next Bachelor.
Unfortunately, that is all we have for you today, so we're going to have to see you later.
But if you've missed any of the show, if you want to listen back, we have a podcast. It's on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Omni, everywhere that you can pretty much find your podcast. So make sure you search for Get Serial. We've got all the days of the week there, including Saturdays.
And if you're desperate to find out the tunes we're playing, you can have a look on Twitter. Vote for our poll when you're there. How do you scone? We will be posting all of that next week.
Yeah, it's pretty much like Shazam for this show, basically.
Yeah, definitely.
But you can see what we get up to on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. As Sam said, please vote for our poll.
And we will be back next Saturday from 8. Until then, you can catch Get Serial on Monday from 6 with Caitlin, Sarah and Josh. Up next, we have the Sunday stretch, so stick around for that.
Or Saturday.
Saturday stretch. Ooh, Sunday stretch,
we
Saturday.
We want it to stretch all the way down to the weekend.
Oh, yes, we do love those girls.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Get Serial podcast. Get Serial, 6 till 9 a.m. weekdays only on Sin.